For the rest of us, we're continuing on in Romans. We're in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 13 through 24. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the word, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and sovereignty of God. On those who fell, sovereignty, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches will be grafted into their own olive tree? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to pursue your word and your truth. Please be with Pastor Craig as he teaches your message. Let it penetrate our hearts and minds. Let us glean from it. And may everything we do this morning be glorifying to you. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nick. As we continue making our way through the book of Romans, we come to a portion of Scripture this morning that can be a little bit confusing if we don't remember the context in which Paul is presenting this. While faith and salvation play a huge part in what we find in these verses, the focus is actually on the blessings of God. The blessings of God. Israel was chosen by God to be blessed with religious privilege. Israel was chosen by God to have religious privilege among the peoples of the world through their faith in him. God gave them this religious privilege so that they could be a blessing to the world. However, as we've been kind of talking about quite a bit lately here, talking about Israel, upon Israel rejecting the most important blessing, the most important religious privilege, the blessing of a Savior from sin, and becoming hardened, actually, to that gospel message, God has turned his attention from Israel as a nation and now to the Gentile world. Because they saw and desired to take advantage of that flow of blessings. And in our passage, this scenario is likened to an olive tree with both natural branches and grafted branches. Now, without taking this illustration too far, mistletoe. Mistletoe is a plant that actually grafts itself into mature and established trees. And it drinks from the nutrients and the minerals that the roots of that tree are providing for its own branches. The mistletoe grafts itself in and takes advantage of that. Now, the term mistletoe is best is known best because it promotes kissing at Christmas, right? But mistletoe is actually a parasite plant. It's a parasite plant that can take over a tree in a short amount of time, to where mistletoe is actually the dominant recipient of all of the nutrients that the roots are providing. The part of the tree that is typically most susceptible to mistletoe is the oldest and the hardest bark, because that's where the cracks form, and that's how the mistletoe plants itself, is in those cracks. Well, this morning, Israel is likened to an old, hard olive tree. Okay? With some new branches, the Gentiles grafted in and taking advantage of the flow of blessings that are really meant for Israel. And again, without taking this illustration too far, for I would never call us Gentiles parasites, it is because of the hardness of Israel toward the gospel message that God is now grafting in us into this tree of blessing. This olive tree that we're going to be looking at this morning is not the tree of salvation. It is not the tree of life. It is not the tree of the church, nor is it a family tree. For this is not really even a tree of individuals, okay? It is a tree that really has branches that represent two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles, all being grafted into this one tree. And while faith, again, and salvation play a huge part in what we find in this passage, the focus, again, is actually on the flow of blessings, the religious privilege that flow from the roots of the tree to the branches. And I've made a little bit of a graphic here, I guess you could say, that just hopefully this will help you more than it hinders you through this passage, okay? But a little bit of a graphic just to give you a visual of what's taking place in this passage. This is, like I said, it is not the tree of salvation. It's not the tree of the church. It's not a family tree. It's not the tree of life. This is the tree of God's blessings. It's the tree of God's blessings. As we saw last week, Paul is still addressing Gentiles about the Jews. In fact, verse 13 begins, "For I speak to you Gentiles." Okay? He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles. There were some then, as there are now, who thought, and perhaps were even teaching, that God's done with Israel. He's done with them, and now everything that was promised to Israel now belongs to the Gentile world." And he's addressing that to tell them that's not the case at all, okay? And the believing Gentile world, they believe that they have replaced Israel as the sole partakers of these promises. And so Paul here, his purpose is to show us Gentiles who might be in that boat, okay, of thinking that he's done with Israel, his purpose is to show us that no, God is not done with Israel, and this olive tree illustration actually defends that in at least three different ways. And they all go back to Israel's roots. They all go back to the roots, and that is our subject this morning from Romans chapter 11 and verses 13 through 24. Now, as we progress through this passage, we're going to see this illustration of an olive tree from its roots all the way up to its branches. And because we have been talking about the promises of God given to Abraham and through the patriarchs of the Jewish faith, it is these promises that are at the root of all blessings in this tree. These promises are the source, really, of all blessing in the world. In fact, God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And he goes on to say, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And either directly or indirectly, they have. Now, while all families of the earth shall be blessed, who is the promise made to? Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, right? That's who the promise is made to. Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel. So God is not done with Israel. And the first defense of this is the root subsists for Israel. The root subsists for Israel. It is their tree. It's their tree. The promises given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David are there. They're alive and well. That's what subsist means. It continues to exist. It continues to live for them. That's what the promises are there for. And just like our tree with mistletoe in it, the root of that tree isn't functioning for the mistletoe. It's functioning to keep its own branches alive. The root is not there for the engrafted limbs. It's there for the natural limbs. Now, listen how that plays out in these verses. In fact, let's read verses 13 and 14. He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them." Now here's what we're learning. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. We've already seen that he himself is a Jew. In fact, back in verse 1 of chapter 11, he said, "I am an Israelite. I am of the seed of Abraham. I am of the tribe of Benjamin." And he that's who he is. But approximately 20 years before he wrote this letter to the Romans, he met the resurrected Lord on the road to Damascus. And he was chosen and appointed by God to be a minister, a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. And that is why as we look at the book of Acts, we see Paul going on journey after journey out into the Gentile world to share the gospel of Jesus. However, we learn here that Paul magnified his ministry to provoke Israel. In other words, Paul was zealous in his ministry to the Gentile world in hopes that the Jews would become jealous of what they, the Gentiles, were receiving. Chapter 10 began with Paul saying that his Jewish brethren had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And so now, through his experiential knowledge of God, through his scriptural reasoning, his hope was to provoke his Jewish brethren to such a jealousy that they would investigate the truth for themselves and believe. I might add that even as Paul journeyed into the Gentile world, with every city that he went into, where did he go first? The synagogue, the Jewish synagogue. He went there first to let them know, this is what I am here for. And as they would turn their nose up at him, he would turn to the Gentiles with zealousness, hoping that they would be jealous of what was taking place in the Gentile world and want it to. In Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. Paul magnified his ministry to the Gentiles to provoke Israel. Look at verse 15. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Israel's rejection of Christ actually is what brought reconciliation to the world. We talked about this last week. Israel is so interconnected to the promises of God that even as they rejected their promised Messiah, God had planned and used that rejection for their own good and for the good of the whole world. God reconciled man to himself through Jesus' death on the cross, where man was separated from God because of sin. The death of Christ on the cross paid for man's sin and bridged that gap between man and God so that they could now come to him by faith. Israel's rejection prompted that. And again, as we talked last week, can you imagine? Can you imagine what will happen when they believe? Can you just imagine? And again, as we talked last week, they're receiving, okay, will be life from the dead. It will usher in the kingdom age. In general, this life from the dead that Paul's talking about is for everybody who trusts. The instant that a person trusts in Christ for salvation, they go from dead to being alive eternally. Okay? In general, that's what happens. But I think Paul uses, he has a little bit more in mind here. I think he's thinking about the resurrection, the future resurrection of all that are dead and alive at the time that Christ comes, be raised together and be with him forever. Israel's rejection of Christ brought reconciliation to the world. The receiving of Christ will bring resurrection life. And their restoration is imminent. It is imminent. In fact, look at verse 16. He says, "For the first fruit is holy. For if the first fruit is holy, the whole lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches." Now, this is where we start getting into the olive tree illustration. And Paul opens this illustration up to get his audience thinking in the right direction. He brings up the first fruits offering. And that it could have been the resurrection thinking that's leading him to this here. But the first fruits offering was when the Israelites would bring to the altar in the temple the first and the best of whatever they had produced, whether it be grain or bread or what have you. And they would bring this and offer it to God. And through this willing and joyful offering to God, God would bless the whole lump, the whole crop, whatever it was. Okay? If the first fruit is holy, the whole lump is holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. The root and the branches are seen as the same way as this first fruits offering. Because of the patriarchs, because they were set apart and holy as unto the Lord, so are their offspring. The nation of Israel, they are all part of the same lump, set aside unto God. And the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob subsist for that whole nation of Israel. These promises were not made to the Gentile world. They were made to Israel and for Israel. The Gentiles, by God's design, are simply benefiting from them. So God cannot be done with Israel because the root subsists for them. The second defense is the root supports the branches. The root supports the branches. The root, it can't be the other way around. It just can't be the other way. If you have ever transplanted a tree, how important is it that you get as much of the root as possible? Very, right? Right? It determines the life or death of that plant. However, I have transplanted trees before where I have broken limbs. Sometimes some big limbs. Yet the tree still lived. It's because of the root. The root supports the branches, and the limbs themselves have much less to do with the health of the tree than the roots. Now, before we look at what's taking place here in these next verses, is it the Gentiles of old or the fathers of Israel that make up the root? All right, the patriarchs, the fathers of Israel. The roots are promises made to Israel. Now listen to verses 17 and 18. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. The root supports the branches, whether natural or ingrafted wild ones. Now, Israel is, of course, the natural branches. They are like Paul of the seed of Abraham, okay, whose promises belong to, I'm messing this up, whose roots were promises of God to the descendants of Isaac and Jacob, and they have a huge, grand history that reaches back thousands and thousands of years. This is Israel. This is the root, okay? Reaching back thousands and thousands of years. This is a photo, and it's not terribly clear, but there are two trees, two olive trees in this picture. And they're so old and kind of ratty that it's hard to even tell that they're trees. But they're in Lebanon, and it's estimated that these trees are somewhere between 4,000 to 6,000 years old. Okay? 4,000 to 6,000 years old, these trees. Now, look how fat, how thick they are. These trees have been supplying the branches with the needed nutrients for perhaps 4,000 years. This right here, it's a good representation of Israel. Israel is the natural branches of this tree that has been around for a very long time. However, according to our passage, many natural branches were broken off. Okay? Many natural branches were broken off. They rejected the Messiah when he came. They rejected the promises of God, specifically the promise concerning the Redeemer, and their eyes were veiled. They were veiled. They were blinded in part. Their supply of nutrition was cut off, and so were their branches. The Gentiles are the wild branches, okay? And our passage says many of them were grafted in among the natural branches, where they were now the recipients of the blessings of God, partaking of the fatness and the nutrition that the roots were providing. In fact, in John 4:22, Jesus said, "Salvation is of the Jews." If it were not for Israel, the roots of Israel, there would be salvation for no one. Even if a new branch or a bunch of new branches were grafted into one of these ancient trees, would they have anything to boast about? Not at all. Not at all. It's all the roots. Listen to verse 18. He says, "Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you." So Gentiles were grafted in to this tree that belongs to Israel through the blessings that were supplied by the promises made to Abraham. We are here right now, alive and well and growing as part of God's family, as part of His... We are His children because of the Jewish people, because of God's promises to them. And this leads us to the last defense. The root subsists for Israel. The root supports the branches. And the third and final defense is the root sanctifies the believer. Whether Jew or Gentile, the root sanctifies the believer. Sanctify means to be set apart. It's connected to that word holy that we were using earlier. And both Jews and Gentiles have been. However, the Gentiles had a misconception about this, and that's why Paul is writing them now. They had a misconception. And since we're on the topic of trees, I recently heard about a person who went sailing for the very first time with a friend of his who is very good at sailing. And as they left the land, they went way out to sea. In fact, they were so far out that they couldn't see land anymore. And the one person that was on his first boat ride like this, he said to the pilot, to his friend, he says, "I am just amazed that there is so much wind this far out at sea." To which the pilot, kind of puzzled, asked, "Well, why does that surprise you?" And the person then said, "Well, there are no trees." And even more puzzled, he asked, "What has that got to do with anything?" And with all seriousness, they said, "Well, you know, the wind blows because the trees move." Talk about a misconception, right? Well, that's the kind of thing that we're seeing here, just not quite to that degree, okay? Apparently, there were some Gentiles that were boasting about taking the place of Israel simply because they were Gentiles and not Jews. Listen to verse 19. He says, "You will say then, branches were broken off that we might be grafted in." And basically, they were saying, we have been grafted into the tree of God's blessing because Israel has been broken off. Well, look at verse 20. Paul says, "Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear." Here's what all this boils down to. Natural branches were broken off. However, the Gentiles were saying that they were broken off so that we could be grafted in. And Paul says, that's a good argument, but that's not correct. That's not correct, okay? Those branches were broken off because of unbelief. It has nothing to do with you. They were broken off because of unbelief, and you wild branches were grafted in because of belief. You stand by faith, the passage says. Israel was not broken off so that Gentiles could be grafted in. They were broken off because of unbelief. And you Gentiles, you were grafted in not because Israel was broken off, but because you believed. It has nothing to do with making room for you or a shift in the promises. You could have been grafted in at any time by believing in the promises. It all has to do with faith. And now keep in mind that the branches do not represent individual people. They represent the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jewish nation rejected Jesus and they were broken off from the tree of God's blessings. The Gentile nations began to receive Jesus and were grafted in to this tree of blessings. And God is impartial to all the branches, which not only means that there are both Jews and Gentiles that are believers and receivers of these blessings, but it also means that just like the Jewish nation rejected Christ and was cut off from this tree of God's blessings, the Gentile world can be cut off too. And I think we are seeing that in the world today. We've been going through church history, Sunday mornings in Sunday school, and where Christianity has been the driving force in the world since Jesus walked on it. In fact, as Jeff said, really the church history is world history. Okay? And where Christianity has been the driving force in the world since Jesus walked on it, there has been a worldwide shift, a departure from Christ and anything that has to do with Him. Christianity today is considered religiously, nationally, and politically incorrect to the degree that even many who call themselves Christians are departing from the truth of His Word. And Paul says, don't be haughty, but fear. He's speaking to those Gentiles who are calling themselves Christians, boasting about who they are. Don't be haughty, but fear. Listen to verses 21 and 22. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Gentiles, the Gentile world, can also be cut off from this tree of blessing. You know, Christianity has blessed the world in so many ways, even aside from salvation. The charity, okay? The change in culture and change really in looking at and honoring women. Christianity has benefited this world, and He's telling us, don't be haughty, but fear. Gentiles can also be cut off from these blessings that God has showered upon the world. Paul says, consider the impartial goodness and severity of God. He blessed Israel. And if He did not spare Israel when they stumbled and rejected His Messiah, don't think that He won't cut you Gentiles off as well. Once again, keep in mind, we're not talking about the church here. We're not even talking about saved individual people. We are talking about Jews as a people group and Gentiles as a people group. And the blessings of God that go out to them. Before Christ, blessing went out to the nation of Israel, both the believing portion and unbelieving portion. After Christ, blessing went out to the Gentile world, both the believing portion and the unbelieving portion. And Paul is warning the Gentile world that just like the Israelite nation was cut off when they rejected God, when the Gentile world rejects Him, they too will be cut off. Not if, when. And when that happens, Israel will be grafted back in. Remember, Paul is giving us all this information, making the argument that God is not done with Israel. He's not done with Israel. God's plan is to graft them back in to this tree of blessing. And just like, again, we talked about last week, the blinders will finally be removed from the Jewish people. The Israelite nation, they will recognize that Jesus is in fact the Christ who came to be Savior so that He could reign as King. Look at verse 23. He says, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Belief is why they will be grafted back in. And Lord willing, we will look at that a bit deeper next week. But currently, any blessings that the nation of Israel is receiving from God today comes because there is a believing remnant. However, when the blinders are lifted and the nation believes as a whole, and receives their Savior and King, Israel as a nation will be grafted back in. God is able to graft them back in. Verse 24 says, "For if you were cut out of an olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree?" Who does Paul say the olive tree belongs to? Israel. It's their own olive tree. It doesn't belong to the Gentiles. It never has. It never will. And the only reason that we, as Gentiles, have benefited from it at all is because we have trusted in the promised Jewish Messiah. The root sanctifies the believer, whether Jew or Gentile. In fact, in Revelation 22:16, Jesus said, "I am the root. I am the root." God is not done with Israel. And this olive tree illustration proves that. The root sanctifies the believer, the root supports the branches, and the root is and subsists for Israel. Last week we said that Israel is the gearworks of world history. Well, Israel is also the dandelion of world history. All right, with a taproot that is very, very deep and seemingly indestructible. Thank God for Israel. Thank God for those promises that God made to these men, that the flow of blessing can come to even us. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for the very rich and deep history of Israel. We thank you for the promises that you made to them, the way that you have blessed them and supported them, and even in their rejection, Lord, maintained them and protected them. And Lord, we thank you for that because we don't have a rich history as Gentiles. And we thank you, Lord, that you saw fit within your divine will to allow us to partake of that fatness and that richness of salvation. Lord, we do pray for Israel as well concerning their future. Your word tells us very clearly that there will come a time when those blinders are removed. And they will see their Messiah not only as King, but as a Savior who already came. And Lord, we look to that day and thank you for it. And we pray, Lord, that instead of boasting in what we have and what they do not at this current time, that we would be as much of a blessing to them right now as they have been to us throughout history. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.